John chapter 10, and we're just in a series looking at some of the amazing sayings of Jesus Christ. He just said some massively big things to kind of get your head round, and a number of these statements begin with this bold claim, I am. So we're in a series looking at the I ams in John's Gospel, and if you don't have a Bible, it will really help you to have one open in front of you. So if you could put your hand up, someone's going to bring you a Bible. And we're just going to spend the next few minutes just reflecting on a bit of John's Gospel. John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. It's page 1076 in those Bibles you just got given. This is what Jesus says. He says, therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. This is the truth. He wants us to really hear what he's got to say. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I've just lost my place, there we go. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Let me just read those last two verses again, verse 9 and 10. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Lord Jesus, we want this life that you offer, life to the full. And so, Lord, help us understand what you mean when you say you're the gate. And Lord, I pray, touch our hearts. And Lord, please, just as we've mentioned, dearest, we pray blessing on her as she goes. And Lord, I pray particular blessing today on any who are here for the first time, just like Iris was 16 years ago. Lord, may you particularly help us to see you more clearly through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted just at the start of what I'm saying to show a little clip. It's from quite a famous film, but if you've recognize it, it's great. If you don't recognize it, it doesn't matter. I'll explain afterwards how I think this clip is relevant to what I want to say about this passage. Let's go for it. What are you running from? And where are you running to? What are you running from, and where do you think you're going to find safety from the things you're running from? You know, I think many in our world are running from all kinds of things, running from guilt and shame. Met someone just this week who spoke of those things having such a big hold on their life. They were trying to get rid of the shame, running from it. I know there are people who are running from the fear of death, wanting to avoid aging at all costs. People running from the fear of failure. People running even from the expectations of others, maybe parents or your boss, or just trying to live life in your own way, not just in the way that everyone else wants you to. What are you running from, and what are you running to? Where do you think you're going to find the security, the comfort, the safe place? Sometimes it can be, you know, just things that we think are gonna, you know, make everything right for us. If we had more money, we just want more money. And sometimes if we think that's too elusive, we might just settle for a bit of retail therapy, or maybe it's even just a little bit of something that we fancy, comfort eating or drinking, or even maybe pornography or watching something like that. Just something that's kind of feels, it's gonna bring us comfort. Maybe it's that kind of pleasures that we think money can get. Or maybe it's actually, we think if we get a position, then everything will be all right. If we get married, or we get a secure job, or so-called secure job, or we think if we maybe, could just be more popular, more liked, get a bit of fame. I tell you what, this week, my heart just went out to the Brazilian football team. I don't know if you saw that game, but I thought, these guys have probably been told since childhood that if they could make it to the Brazilian football team, if they made it to play in the World Cup, it would be like the most wonderful thing in their life. It would be this moment where they'd kind of be remembered forever. No one probably ever told them it would end like this, or could end like this. That actually the thing they thought was going to give them this secure position in history would actually be a moment of utter defeat and devastation. And if you didn't hear the news, they lost 7-1 in the semi-final. Just shocking. I was remembering this week, I heard a song by Whitney Houston. You know, you have those kind of moments, you think, now, she died, didn't she? I didn't dream that. She died. It was a couple of years back now, but all that fame, all that money, and it was like, I read back into it, and it was, she died, found dead in a bathtub, and the report said that it was cocaine and chronic heart failure that kind of combined to see the demise of this amazing, she had it, fame, money, popularity, and yet something wasn't right. I read the story too this week of a man who was a businessman. Maybe your thing is you just want to get that position in business. And this guy said, Gunnar Olsen, his picture is here on the screen. He said, at the age of 29, I saw a boyhood dream fulfilled as I was named general manager of a high profile firm whose board members came from highly respected quarters around Sweden. Even the chairman was a member of the royal family. But I had no peace, he writes. Something was missing from my life, yet the more I cried out to God for meaning and purpose, the worse my struggle became. Insomnia kept me up at night, pacing the living room floor before falling exhausted into bed, and once asleep, recurring nightmares plagued me. Their terror gripped me, and I saw no escape. One dream always ended with me feeling all I could do was sit and wait the release of death. And I kept the problem to myself. To the outside world, everything looked fine. Yet I was wounded because of unresolved personal issues. And to worsen matters, the position I had craved, this position that he'd kind of ran to and ran after, it brought exhaustion and depression as I tried to carry its demanding work. I spiraled downwards. My life felt like it was a train wreck, and eventually I succumbed to gnawing despair and contemplated suicide. I had a happy marriage and I loved our two children, yet I couldn't overcome my feelings of depression and desperation. The very thing he was running to, thought was going to be a safe place, actually it turned out that it was all a lie. It wasn't a safe place. And Jesus, in John chapter 10, he speaks of those who tell us that, you know what, if you run to here or run to there, if you run to money or to fame, you're going to find security, or if you just do better good things, you're going to find security in that. He says those people, look at verse 1, are thieves and robbers. He says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. And he talks in the passage we read about thieves and robbers, those who kind of sell us short. They're actually not wanting the best for us. They're wanting what they can get from us. And actually, we see story after story of people who listen to those kind of voices. And particularly in Jesus' day, he's got chapter 9, the previous chapter in mind, where these false teachers, these religious leaders who are wanting to ignore the way that Jesus says is the only way people are going to find security. They want to put burdens on them and other things. And Jesus says, no, those are thieves and robbers. And he says, look, there is a way. There is a way to security. There is a gate through which you can run through and you're safe. Do you want to know what that is? Jesus says, verse 7, I tell you the truth. I am the gate. I am the gate, Jesus says. Jesus, folks, is the gate to security. The gate to security. And, you know, as I was just thinking about this week, I was remembering here where it says, I am the gate. To verse 9 again, it says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I was remembering a song that I've sung since I was little, and we sing here sometimes with the kids. And it's familiar probably to some, but it's taken from a proverb in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they're safe. You know, there's something about salvation, about being saved, about what has happened to Amanda and Farhad, where they've discovered that in Jesus, there is something that they can run to and find security. Security that's not like the money thing or the popularity thing or the fame thing or comfort eating or whatever other thing you might go to. Security that is really secure. Security that means that whatever you're facing today or tomorrow, you can know that you are protected, that you are safe. You see, this Jesus, as we were singing about earlier, he dies our death for us on the cross. So if you've got fear of death, he's dealt with that. If you're running from kind of shame or guilt, Jesus is the one, as we heard in Farhad's testimony, you know, you can say, hey, it's okay, I'm a sinner and I don't mind other people knowing it because Jesus has forgiven my shame and my guilt. He's taken it upon himself. So I don't need to be afraid of that. I find a place of security. I don't need to run from people's, all different people's expectations and things like that, because in Jesus I find someone who knows me better than anyone else, even better than I know myself. And Jesus never places any ill-fitting expectation on us. He knows what's best for us. He knows you and what makes you you, and he wants what's best for you. So in him we can be completely secure. He comes to help us, to give us this wonderful freedom, that we might no need to fear failing, because no mistake can be fatal. His grace and his spirit, as I said in those questions when I asked people about their baptism, I said, in dependence on God's grace and with the help of his Holy Spirit, will you follow him? And he says, look, I'm here for you. You're in a place of security. I love this picture of Jesus, the gate. I don't know if you sometimes get home at the end of a crazy day and you just walk and you see your door and you think, yeah, I'm home. Sometimes it's hard when home isn't that safe place, but there are places, times when we get to them, and we think, oh yeah, I'm safe. A bit like Frodo and the that kind of elf queen who was kind of running with him to that place. Once they got through that ford, they knew they were safe. They were running to a place of safety, and they were secure. Jesus comes and says, I'm the gate to security. You can come in and you're safe. But here's the other second wonderful thing. Jesus says, not just look at verse 9 with me. He says this, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out. Come in and go out. One of the other wonderful things that being saved and salvation means is a picture of being brought out into a spacious place. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is this in Psalm 18, verse 19. Talks about God rescuing us, and he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. One of the things I often say to our team and to folks in the church, are you operating in a wide open space? Are you free? Because God came and Jesus came to set us free. He brings freedom. I don't know if you've had one of those experiences of a long journey. Maybe on a holiday. I remember when I was growing up, we used to go places we want to go on holiday. Sometimes we'd drive a long way over very bad roads, and it was hot, and you'd be in this car, and I had two sisters, and so it was all the luggage, and you're kind of cramped in. And, you know, maybe you know this kind of experience, and then you kind of get there eventually. And the place you're going to on holiday, hopefully, is kind of spacious and nice. And you get out of the car and you kind of go, oh, and you look around and you're out of the confines. And Jesus says, hey, look, there's something about this gate which through me you can come and find freedom. A wide open space. Are you in a wide open space at the moment? Do you know that freedom to... Hey, just to enjoy the pasture, the things that God's put out, to sort of follow him where he kind of roams and explores. One of the things I was just thinking about this freedom is it's freedom not to be selfish, but freedom to really kind of live as God wants us to. And there's a big link here with the security that we discover. It's actually when we're clear about the security that we actually, when we find that security, we find freedom. Because security is key to giving us the freedom. These two things, the gate is kind of a massive connected, because it's as we find that security, then we're kind of free to kind of go and do the things that God's given us to do and to enjoy. I think of how kids often kind of want to know that their parent is close, or, you know, that they know where kind of home is, and then they can actually be really free to go and enjoy roaming. I know when my son wakes up in the morning, having been in his bedroom and all that, what does he want to do? Outside, outside. He just wants to go. So you open the door and out he goes. Just into the courtyard, not out, out. He's only two. But Jesus says, hey, folks, he calls us to be those that really live life to the full. He's living life to the full, both with that freedom and with that security. Are you living where you can really go? I think it's so wonderful. Graham and Margaret, you know, being part of this church for so many years, and we've been as a church connected with Wales for 20 years. And this year they decide, you know what? We're free to go. We'll go. We'll go to Wales, serve over there. We'll do something different that we don't usually do. And that heart, that freedom to go, free to serve. I love that this church during Hope thought, you know what? We can do this. We're free to give up a day of our time or more than that. We're free to kind of, you know, do some gardening here. We're going to do it. And so that freedom to serve, free to sing. Wonderful to just sing, isn't it? On Sunday, free to dance, you know, free to be those that God's called us to be, to work, free to rest, free to love. And love takes freedom, because you've got to be free and secure to really be able to love others like God calls us to. Not in a selfish way, in a self-giving way. Are you free, folks? Jesus says he's the gate. Come and find security. Come and find freedom. Come in and go out. And he reminds us in verse 10 at the end, the thief, those others who promise security and freedom, many will say, you get more money, you'll be free and secure. Rubbish. Get more fame and popularity, you'll be free and secure. It doesn't work like that. Jesus says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, Jesus says, that you may have life, and life to the full. Life to the full. So as I end, I want to come back to this story of Gunnar Olsen. Can we have the picture back up, Mike? Is that possible? This guy's story didn't end that night when he had this kind of desperation inside, but he actually, it says this, one night I padded down into the hall to our small guest room, weeping uncontrollably, and I pleaded, "Let me come home, God. I can't take it anymore." And suddenly the room glowed with a warm presence. Love filled my entire being. I could sense God's presence. And opening my mouth, I praised him. For the first time in my life, I knew that God loved me. That knowledge was crucial. I had felt God's love as if he had come down from heaven to give me a huge embrace. It was real and intimate. He found a place of security. Jesus on the cross dies for us because he loves us. We're secure as we come to him. And God, he says, answered his prayer. He restored me and released me from my prison of fear. And the Bible came alive. Its word impacted my spirit. He found a freedom, security and a freedom. And I want to say, folks, you too today, through Christ, can find both security and freedom. Jesus says in verse 9 here, look at it with me. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Whoever. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how many times you've come here. It doesn't matter if you've never been before. It doesn't matter what you've done. Whoever enters through me. What does that mean? What does it mean to enter through Christ? Well, certainly it means to come to him. To believe that he is the gate. To believe his words. To trust him that he is the place we can find security and the place we can find freedom. To admit that we need those things. And then to press into him. I think of how most key doors in my life, like my front door, I go through it many times. In and out. And I just was being struck this week as I've been thinking about this passage to just keep touching base with Jesus throughout the day. Do you do that? Hey Jesus, just need your security right now. Great, it's there. Wonderful. Praise God. Oh, yeah, Jesus, just need to know your freedom now. Oh, great. Yeah, wonderful. Freedom. Great. Do you know those things? You know, at work tomorrow, you can just find security and freedom anytime you want. Just come to Jesus through him and live in those things. Are you living in those things? But also, you might say, well, I don't really know either of those things fully, and I've never kind of come to Jesus at all, ever, for the first time. Well, like Farhad and Amanda, they've come to a point of saying yes to Jesus. That's what they said in answer to those questions. In essence, they were saying yes to their need and yes to Jesus. And you might today, just in this moment, want to do just that. You might want to come and just say, hey, Jesus, I need you. I want to say, I believe you're the gate. I want to come and find freedom and security. I need your help. And if you do, why don't you just now, in this moment, come and pray with me. Let's come and meet with this Jesus and find in him this salvation he offers. So let's just bow our heads now in this moment. Just in this moment of quiet. Are you in that wide open space? Do you know freedom? And do you know that you're secure? What are you running from? Because Jesus is the answer. He's the safe place. So if you want to come to him now, if you want to enter through him, why not just echo this prayer in your heart? Lord Jesus, I believe your words. I believe you're the gate. That through you I can find security and freedom. Through you I can be saved. I need your salvation. Please. I want you to be at the center of my life. I want to stay close to you. Come in now, Lord, I pray. I believe and trust in you. If you just were echoing that in your heart right now. I just would love as your pastor to be able to kind of connect with you and pray for you. And just if you did, do you want to just raise your hand and say, hey, yeah, I was praying that. And I'm just going to embarrass you in any way. Just thank you. Just see you. Folks upstairs and anyone downstairs, thank you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, just those folks who particularly today just needed to echo that prayer, Lord, be with them, I pray. And just as we stay in this attitude of prayer, I'm going to ask the band to come up because there's something I want to share just as they play for us. And one of the things that really gripped me as I was thinking about this picture of the gate is you kind of know when you're in the gate. You kind of go, yeah, this is amazing. And that wonderful bit at the end of the clip when they got to the other side of the ford and they knew they were safe. And the river then kind of came and took out these guys who were chasing them. And here's what I want to say. These things that harass us in our spirits, and many of us I think can relate to that, things that come and harass us, Jesus can deal with them. And in the film, they had to keep battling against those things. But actually, that was a defining moment. And the picture of that kind of ford swelling up, that was like, that's like almost a picture of baptism. It's got overtones. Tolkien was a, the guy who wrote the book was a believer. It's got overtones of kind of baptism and of the exodus out of Egypt when the kind of those who were chasing God's people were washed away. You know, as we baptize these guys in a moment, it's going to be a picture of that kind of celebration. They're safe. Those things that were coming after them, hey, they're defeated in Jesus' name. He's dealt with them. Dealt with them gloriously. And so as we sing this song, I just want you to be praying. Have you kind of got that marker moment like these guys are going to have in a moment where you kind of know, yeah, those things are dealt with and I know they might come back, but I know I've got a safe place in Jesus where I can come to. So we're just going to sing here. And as we do, maybe you just want to be considering that. Have you had one of those moments where you know, yeah, I've been baptized. I'm there. I've identified myself with Jesus.
Let's stand together. Just before we start singing, you might just want to just...